You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome back to part two of our conversation with Laura Bell Bundy. If you haven't listened to part one yet, make sure you go check it out first. Thanks for listening. So clearly you've become passionate about women and history and speaking and getting the information out there. I mean, listening to the first episode, I was so appreciative of the history, to be quite honest, because there are things that I don't know. And like you, I believe myself to be an educated person who has an interest in it to begin with. So the things that I was learning, I mean, oh my gosh, when you talked about birth control only being available to married couples to begin with. And I'm like, what kind of fucked up double standard is that? Like, I just couldn't wrap my mind around it.
Because sex is for procreation and nothing else. And right. People are still saying this.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievably mind-boggling, truly, like, in this day and age that I'm is like, still a right. common thought.
Have it that way, guys. Okay, you white men making the laws. Have yeah. it that way.
Well, exactly. God, they just want to like hold on so tightly to these, you know, long ago thoughts or from to be good, right? Quote unquote good, and what makes someone honorable and a good person. And so much of it is wrapped up in religion and beliefs of what is right and wrong. That also was a book written by.
But it's so hypocritical because, yeah. because if they're saying it's for procreation, okay, great. So all those people, you get pregnant, you have to be financially responsible for that child. Like it's right. just, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, you can tell to our listeners that Laura Bell's podcast will get you fired up. That is what I felt. Like after listening to it, I was like, I'm ready to go to war. Where is the fight? Oh, no. Where are my gloves? Let's do this. No, in such a right great now. Way.
I know. I'm fired up right now.
Exactly. But for to dive into your first episode, it's based on your release, Get It Girl You Go, which you guys, the song... I, once you listen to it, it will never leave your head. It's so fantastic. I love the juxtaposition of this kind of Andrew Sisters feel, which would equate to maybe an antiquated belief of what women's roles are, and then everything that you talk about and the video that goes with it. So we're going to play a really quick clip of it so you can get a taste, and then we'll dive into some more with Laura Bell.
She dreamed a little dream, aced the test, arose with a diploma, no time to rest. Got a job, a flat, joined the race. Never tell this woman she should know her place. Few years later, frames another degree. Filling up her C-cup, getting vitamin D. Took the baby to the dock, was almost late for the big presentation that would pave the way. Made some noise so that the boys, they heard what she had to say. And dinner's on the table, quite a long ass day. Bought a baby girl an airplane and a son of a dog. No agenda with your gender, gotta learn to do it all. Hey, hey, she came to play. Oh, oh, get out of her way. Thank you, mama. Thank you, friend. I got front row seats to watch the queen ascend. Baby, how you feeling? Breaking that glass ceiling. Time to run the world, we're taking over this place. Welcome to the future, it was worth the wait.
It's so good. Where did the inspiration for the song come from?
Well, I knew that I wanted to have a song of celebration and up-tempo. Celebrating how far we've come and empowerment and what we have. So as many songs in the album talk about things we're striving for, we need, or issues. But this is a celebration. And while it's also bringing up the fact that we're sort of required to do it all in order to do anything. Mm-hmm. And so it just... I just wanted to, initially it was just like this up-tempo, fun feeling song that felt like an anthem is what I wanted. And then as I began to write it, I had just had a child and all of these messages about being a mom were just like so flowing out of me. And this, cause it was my experience. So it became like, oh, wow, the song is going to be about she's doing this, she's doing that, and she's doing this, and she's doing that, and nothing can keep her down because she is powerful. And when something doesn't work for her, she's going to fight for it. Mm-hmm. So it's got a little fight in it. And then that's where it came from.
I love that. I also love that the rhythm is the rhythm of a breast pump. Yeah. That is a very specific thing to know. And I just... It's like
you just keep doing that. I'll sing the song.
I know, right?
There you go. Well, and I just love that it, like you said, it's like it's a celebration. I feel like Jess and I are always texting each other, being like, "You're such a rock star! Like you did all these things today. You're doing it all. You're keeping your kids alive, and you're creating, and you're doing all the things." Like we're always saying, "You're doing all the things. You're amazing!" Like mm-hmm. constantly cheering each other on. And how great to like have a song that's kind of like an anthem for that, right?
Yeah.
Like. You're doing it and it's hard. It's really hard, but we came from this place where we didn't have all the things we have now. So just think of what we continue to fight for and what we could possibly have.
Exactly. And you know, it's like, get it, get your thing, get it, girl, you go. And it's also, I think a little bit about, the future being female.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I do want to say is as we come up against an election right now and we come up against a Supreme Court nomination that feels like it's threatening our rights and freedoms as women, we cannot forget the progress we've had in the last 4 years. And that no matter who our leader is, we cannot stop moving because feminism is a runaway train. You cannot stop it. We will continue to progress. And no matter who gets elected, this thing is still moving because you want to get a show done in Hollywood right now? It ain't going to be a white man doing it. Nope. You want to get something made? It's the women.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's the diverse women. But we have to represent now. And that is already changed. That tide has turned. We are not going back.
No. And that is something I think Kara and I, this podcast has been so driving for us also for that. We have found our voice within this and we have found the want and desire to get up there in the march with you and spread the word and shout it out. And, you know, we're both raising daughters and I truly every time she knows who Hillary Clinton is, or she now knows who Kamala Harris is, and she knows who these women are and who are powerful, and she knows what they're capable of, what she is capable of, and what she can do. And that has to continue because there is no going back. We are fucking awesome. And it's time that the rest of the world gets on board because we will save it. We will save the world, the women. Because when you're an empathetic, compassionate, intelligent, driven person of perhaps a feminine gender or identifying as such, we make shit happen.
Yeah,
women mamas make it happen. Yeah. Women get it done.
Yeah.
I had to join in on your choir.
Multitasking. You know, we do it. And by the way, our whole existence is multitasking. We never stop moving. So, you know, if we're in constant motion all the time. And I think we have to also look at our rights as being in constant motion as well. Mm-hmm. And forward progression. There are historical instances of women losing rights. There are, as I've been doing my research, and it's scary. Yeah. But I don't think we're going to ever let that happen. We can't. No. Because we've seen progress regardless in the last 4 years. We have to know that. And we've had major awakenings going on in this last year with people.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
with their own privilege.
Exactly. And I think that's what, if there's something to this administration's time, if there is a silver lining to it, it is that people have had their awakenings and their the fire has been lit.
Yeah.
And many, many people are finding their voices and raising them and fighting for change.
Mm-hmm. And as horrible as this pandemic has been, I think that it has only bolstered that those awakenings. You know, it's given people space and time to evaluate. You know, it's kind of in the beginning, everybody was leveled to the same playing ground where everybody was quarantined and stuck in their own situation, you know, and had time in their brain to reflect on what it was that was happening. Now I don't have any time in my brain to reflect on anything because I feel like I'm busier than I've ever been in my life. But here we are getting it done.
Yeah.
Right. Like, no, getting it all done.
I know. Well, too, I'm starting to notice that some work is coming back. So now it's like, wait, I have this whole quarantine life. Yeah. And now outside life is trying to happen. Right. Other life, former life. Now I've got to sort of kind of figure out how that works again. There's been a lot of positive things I would say about the quarantine too, you know, in terms of family, in terms of the way my husband and I have reorganized the way we do things and the way we raise our son and him being able to be home and be with him and get this time with him and our responsibilities be adjusting in terms of like him seeing and understanding and noticing some of the things I was doing when I was home and now taking on those responsibilities. And it's actually improved our relationship. Awesome. It's been nice. And my son is like obsessed with his dad. So it's awesome in that way too. I don't know. That's a non sequitur.
No,
it's a quarantine non sequitur. But, you know, there was something that as we're talking about how this election, what's on the table and our rights and freedoms. I think there's some major philosophical, what's the word here? Misunderstandings, internal misunderstandings people have. The big one to me is the pro-life issue. And this is it for me. What does it mean to be pro-life? If you talk about the sanctity of life, then you wear a mask when you go in public so that you can protect other people's lives.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you can protect pregnant women and their unborn child from getting the coronavirus or elderly grandparents. It means that you care about gun regulation and reform so that less innocent lives are taken. You care about social justice reform so less Black lives are taken. Why don't you think about the lives of the people who were actually born?
Right. You care about children in cages.
Yeah. Right. And ask yourself, which party is more for life? Because if this is a religious issue, you got to ask yourself the questions of are you truly for life all the way around? Are you a hypocrite?
Yeah. Do you support a life if it's gay? If right. it's transgendered, I mean, it's like, so
and have you ever donated to a fund that helps young mothers with the cost of childbirth and childcare?
Right.
Have you ever done that? Because if you're not for universal health care, because for a lot of women, the cost of having a child is too much. So if you're not for universal health care, which is helping people save their lives, I have no respect for you.
No, the hypocrisy.
Your inability to understand that you are not really thinking about it all the way around.
Yeah.
Hear, hear. Yeah. And no, really, the hypocrisy is what gets me every time. every time. I mean, I was raised Southern Baptist, and I've got a lot of that still happening on my Facebook and things. And it is, that is not pro-life when that is the only thing you focus on.
So if that's your issue, if that's the only, if that's where you make your political decision and that's it, you're just it's a one issue party choice. You're just ignoring all of the other things. Right. So that, and there's not going to be one, if there's no party that's just the life party.
Right.
Right.
Then you have decisions to make. I respect everybody's beliefs and opinions, but if you are pro-life, then you're not for the death penalty, and you are for universal right. healthcare, and you are for gun control, and you are for Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Be consistent.
Yes.
Make a choice. It's what I'm doing acting.
Exactly.
Make a strong choice.
You can be strong and wrong, but make a choice.
I can't tell you how many times I've been strong and wrong.
Same. I mean, I think the bottom line is it's about empathy, because so many people can't put themselves in somebody else's shoes who may not be able to pay for the healthcare or the birth of a child, or cannot put themselves in a Black person's shoes who can't go out their door without feeling safe. They cannot transport their understanding of the world to somebody else's. And I think that's the bottom line for why we are where we are today. You know, it's people not seeing the world from eyes that aren't their own. You know, and I think, look, that's a benefit to what we do, right? That's our job. Our job is to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes and figure out what their life is. Mm-hmm. So it's super easy. It's almost overwhelmingly easy to do it. And I feel like this day and age, and I'm going to get emotional because I feel like I can't even open my phone without feeling a gut punch for reading a story that happened to somebody or what is going on in our world. You know, it's so easy to get overwhelmed by that. But instead of being overwhelmed, we should be impassioned and driven to vote first and foremost, but to get this information out there in a digestible way that people can understand and maybe shift their perspective a little bit.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Yes, that and fact-checking.
Hello.
Because what happens is when you have a debate like we saw last night or any damn debate, information is coming to the public and then they're believing it and they're making sound bites of it and none of it's true. Mm-hmm. So to just keep yourself from looking like an asshole, figure out, is there some source online where you can fact check both sides? So you really just have the best information. And also making sure before you post a meme, which I've made this mistake before, that it might be funny and punchy, and zesty, but it's not true. And so that stuff is really important to do. And, I noticed like, oh my God, I'm going to have to like make sure that what I'm putting out into the world is actually factual, because once we start talking about what the facts are, then I think a lot of us realize that we're not as far apart as we thought we were. Mm-hmm. And okay, here's some good things that this party is doing. And here's some not so great things this party is doing. And but it doesn't have to be as polarizing.
Right.
The problem is that people are basing a lot of their opinions right now on information that isn't real, that isn't true.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that really feels like people are being duped. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to come out and say it. Donald Trump is a liar. He lies a lot. And so you got to do your research to know, are the things that you're then spewing out into the world also lies? Just be responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's gray area too. There's opinion, which everybody's entitled to. And then there's just non-truth information.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Yes, all of that. Please vote. Listen to Women of Tomorrow, y'all. She's got Amy McGrath on there. Amy McGrath. We want to take out that turtle devil so badly, Mitch McConnell, and get him out of there. So, you know, the conversation was great. Hearing her talk about the mental load, hearing her talk about how being a fighter pilot is easier than being a mother.
Mom.
I mean... What else do you need to know?
Running for office. She was like, running for office is easier to be a mom. I was like, really?
Add that to your plate, Larabelle. Add it on. Oh my gosh. No. Well, you're so passionate and vocal about all of the women's rights, right? The women's history, the women's rights, moving us forward, progressing, but also bringing awareness to all sorts of traumas and situations that women encounter, for better or for worse. And I wanted to ask you about, I just saw your video for your cover of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, right? That's the next single off of the Women of Tomorrow album. And the music video illustrates a woman's experience with domestic violence. And first off, before I actually started watching the video, I heard the song, and it's so haunting. Your cover is so haunting and so moving. And I love that. I want to hear it from you, because I know that you listened to the lyrics and that's what led you to this, correct?
Mm-hmm. I was listening to the song one day. It was like just in my car. And I was like, ooh, if we slowed this down and we made this the style of this album, this would be a great cover. And so I started to like sing it to myself, and I looked up the lyrics and I'm looking at it, and I saw the line, some boys take a beautiful girl and hide her away for the rest of the world. I want to be the one who walks in the sun. Girls just want to have fun. And I was like, right. So that line makes you emotional. And I was like, man, you don't even hear it with that punchy production. Mm-hmm. And that's such an important lyric. And I think that's why I decided to, make the video, the issue that we're tackling here is a woman's experience in an abusive relationship. And it's Domestic Violence Awareness Month this month. The numbers of cases of violence against women and partners has gone up in staggering amounts since the beginning of the pandemic, because we're quarantined, stuck in the home, not getting escapes to go to work. Children are experiencing a more domestic abuse. So there is a fund called the Domestic Violence Response Fund that I am working to raise money for with Futures Without Violence. And it supports women domestically who have been survivors of domestic violence and victims, but also women and children and men, transgender as well. Especially there's a lot of domestic abuse in the transgender community. And that it also works on an international level through the United Nations. So that being said, I'm doing a virtual event, a live event on my YouTube channel next Thursday with for this fund, to raise money for this fund, where people from Futures Without Violence will be speaking on the topic, a representative from ACLU. We will be hearing some survivor stories and we'll have some live performances. I'll be performing the song live. Nice. And also a woman, a country singer named Mickey Guyton will be singing, a woman named Allie Gonino, and then we'll have some special appearances by Chrissy Fitt and Laurie Benanti, Marissa Winoker, different people from our community that you recognize, asking for you to support this because these folks that are survivors, they've been in crisis mode. Yeah. We've been in crisis mode, but they've really been in crisis mode. So if you can tune in, it's next Thursday, October 29th at 5 p.m.
29th. Right. That's going to be 2 days after. If you're listening to this on the day of, on Tuesday, when we drop these episodes, that is 2 days from now. So on the 29th.
5 p.m. Pacific. So 8 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, yes. Oh, God. Being out here on the West Coast is like, it throws me for a loop every time, but it's just so incredible. And I mean, you know, you've now talked about, I just want to give a shout out to our very first guest, Ms. Benanti, because you've named her now for both projects. You know what I mean? Like she's also someone you know what I mean? Cause she did like the double standards thing with you at town hall and she's doing this.
She did want to be a part of the album. I think she actually had a show or something.
Oh, okay.
But she has always, but that is 100% true. Mm-hmm. She has used her voice for good. Mm-hmm. And she's definitely a mom. And I follow her on TikTok and she's hilarious. and but you know what? There's a lot of women in our community who've used their voices for good. And yeah. I've had so many amazing women get involved in Get It Girl You Go. Anna Lee Ashford, Anika Nani Rose is incredible. She's such an activist. She was on the road campaigning for Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, Shoshana Bean and Carrie Butler. Carrie Butler is, she's just got a heart of gold. She's such a, she's someone, have you had her on the show?
We haven't had her yet. We've asked. So she's on the list. She's on the list.
She's incredible. And her experience right now raising two Black daughters is really an interesting and an important thing, I think, to hear about right now with everything that's going on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, as artists, we always tend to be more passionate, I think. So it's not surprising, like for you to, you know, I see all the girls, I saw Shoshana and Anika, you know, like doing the video with you. And like, I just think when you look to our community, yes, there are men who raise their voices, but I feel like the women really are leading the charge. Or maybe that's just who I follow on Instagram.
I
gotta
tell you,
that's your curated feed.
Men are leading the charge.
Maybe I just have really spotlighted the women. I'm feeling very powerful today. I'm PMSing, so it's like, give me the women.
Well, you know, you follow who you connect with, right? So, but I gotta say, I've been amazed at the response to, hey, will you join me in trying to make a difference? And I'll do the majority of the work. So you can get on board this train and just use your voice. You know, I'll produce it and do the hard stuff.
Oh my God. You're just like, you just keep going and going and going. Like when I think about all the stuff, when I was researching for today, I was just thinking, I said to Kara, I was like, I'm tired from the things that I'm juggling and you have like 10 more of them on you.
I mean,
telling y'all the 6-week sprint.
That's what I need to start doing.
The thing. Put a time limit on it and give myself a goal. Laura Bell, you're making it happen.
I know. I do it for the day, but I definitely don't do it like that far out. I need to start planning a lot.
You've even gotten all this accomplished from being on a 50-day road trip that we didn't even talk
with
about.
With a small child. You're not like 50-day road tripping with, you know, your spouse, just hanging out, having a grand old time. You have a 17-month-old with you.
Yeah, it was, listen, we're having to untrain the use of iPad and Elmo, because we definitely had to use the iPad and Elmo, and you know, to just to not have, you know, just to keep him occupied. And
I'm just glad at that age that he actually would look at a screen for a long enough time for you to have a break. To be honest, that was my thought. It was like, he's so little. Sometimes they don't.
I know.
And then you're having to amuse him for like hours and hours and hours.
I know. And it was funny is that like literally the week before the trip, he started to want to see videos. Like he would see me with my phone and be like, I want that. And of course, everything I'm reading is like frontal lobe. Don't let them. And so, you know, it's not just something else for me to feel guilty about, but.
You know what I have to say? It is, you do what you got to do.
Yeah. You go from that phase with them where like, in order to get them to sit still, you just keep giving them snacks. Yeah. Like they're in the stroller and you're like on the way to the park and you're like, it's going to be amazing. We're getting ready to go. We're headed to the park. You don't realize this, but we're going to have a lot of fun. And they're like, and you're like, snack, cracker,
gold string cheese. Yeah.
It's like, whatever. Snacks for days. And then there's an iPad. And, you know, God, first of all, what did our parents do?
I thought about that a lot. Like, what could they possibly have done right now? But my mother has said to me repeatedly, and I've said this on the podcast before, she said, parenting today is way harder than parenting was when she had kids.
Why?
The societal pressures of the amount of involvement that needs to be involved in parenting, the standards to which we hold ourselves with what we feed our kids, what we show our kids. Like, I mean, with the TV
guilt
being on,
the guilt that comes with the iPad, and then you're worried because of his frontal lobe. You
know? Yeah. Right.
Like
right.
that, like the TV was on. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, whatever.
They don't let you beat your kids anymore. I don't know. What the heck? It was so much easier.
It was so much easier when you could just hit them.
Just shut up. Slap.
My pawpaw used to say, my pawpaw would be like, don't make me go get that switch. You know, like the switch out of the tree. You know, it's like, ooh. No, we don't have switches.
Nope. I was spanked. I also got, don't make me wash your mouth. That was soap.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I got that too.
And I'm like, I was like, this Bath and Body Works is delish.
That sun-ripened raspberry.
Just like, tastes like a papaya. You know, it is different. It's definitely different, and we're way more conscious, which makes us also feel like we're walking on eggshells, or there's so many things not to do or things to do that when we don't, when we either do those things we shouldn't do or not doing the things that we should, it's just something else to feel bad about, yep, and self-hate about.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we do the best that we can. And I think have to be living in the moment. Because so much that we do is just thinking about how we could have done something better, or the future and what we need to do, and all these tasks where if, you know, we could just kind of just be here, be present, have this connection with our child in this moment, without judging ourselves in the moment and them and everything. Wouldn't that be better? Mm-hmm.
It would. Yeah. It definitely would.
It definitely would. Yeah, it would. We always want to ask our guests an engagement question, you know, that we can sort of pose to our listeners and to our followers and hear back from them, help them to feel connected to our conversation. And with you, I think we've even asked this before, but I feel like I have to ask someone who is so politically minded and passionate, what is your hope for the future, for 2021? Do you want me to make it smaller? Her eyes just got so wide. let me ask you, what is your hope for the end of the year? Like what do you hope will be our general sort of consciousness, or your space, even just within yourself, within your home, where you'll be in 20, 2020, December 31st?
You know, it's really hard to answer this question because I have a lot of anxiety about
the next two, like 10 days.
Yeah.
No, I know. I feel like November 4th. I mean, and that is so valid, and you don't even, that's good. I mean, it's like, it's, I think it's totally valid that.
Here, I'm going to tell you what I'd like to see for 2021.
Yes. Yeah.
I would like to see a plan of action to get us out of this pandemic. I would like to see people respecting one another for their choices and their beliefs. I would like to see people's thoughts and beliefs being able to be expressed without violent acts against them and without their thoughts being framed as violent. So I'd like to see some social justice reform. I'd love to see people recognizing their own privilege and prejudice. I would like to see, I would like to see support, financial and otherwise, for essential workers. And I mean, there's a lot. If I want to talk about what I dream to see, I hope that we still have universal health care. And I hope that people don't believe the lies, and that we put our that we think with love first, and what it means to be a loving person, and what that means on a political level, because politics is personal. People say to me, like, I followed you for, you know, I followed you for your because you're an entertainer. So entertain us. I don't care about your politics. And I'm like, well, it's personal. I'm directly affected. I'm a mom. I'm a woman. I'm directly affected by the decisions that are made. And these people are not authority figures. We vote them in. Mm-hmm. We don't need to respect them unless they respect us. So I,
you made me cry on that one. That was,
I would just like to just see peace. And also just a sense of relief for all of us. Oh, like God. To see us getting out of the fucking relief. House.
Yes. Yes. A relief in all ways. I mean, I think, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm so hopeful that this nightmare can,
I've been afraid to be hopeful. Isn't that because after the last election, I went into it with such hope and I was so inspired and so passionate that I almost feel like it's like I'm going to jinx it if I get too hopeful, you know? I'm just like in survival mode. Let's just get to it. Let's just get there. We're going to get there. You know?
Definitely feel that. It's like senioritis. It's like when you know it's almost over or that moment is coming and then you're just like, let's just do it. Let's get to it. And have it, and then we know that what it is, and then we can move forward from there and deal with whatever it is. Hopefully it's some relief.
Yeah. I think this is what I think. Again, I'm going to repeat this. Regardless of what this outcome is for this next election, we'll never stop progressing and we'll never stop evolving. And it's important that we band together as women to understand the rights for that the women who came before us fought for, and that we continue to put our foot in the ground and stand for equality for ourselves and for every single person in this country. Yep. And that is it. I think people will look back at this time, and I do believe it. And I remember having this conversation with Christian Borle in 2016. You are either on the right side of history or the wrong side of history right now. Like when they look back at the 60s and, you know, even in your history classes, they go, we knew segregation was wrong.
Right.
We knew slavery was wrong. We're going to know 50 years when they read the history books about us. They're going to know whether it was right or it was wrong. And so That's it. Yeah. You can be all greedy and all that you want and worried about your stock market, or you can care about human beings. Period.
Period. Amen.
Laura Bell Bundy for president.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yes. No. You know
I'm
what?
I'm for it.
I am here for when you said that about, you know, we were talking about Amy McGrath. It's easier to be a politician or to run for office. No. Laura Bell. I don't know.
Somebody will be
you can get more. You get more done.
Somebody be like, you know, once backstage, she grabbed my ass or like, you know, whatever. Right. I have no idea what I've done backstage. There's no fucking way.
That's right. Oh, my God. This was so.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
I wish we were meeting for a glass of wine now, truthfully, to kind of, I'm like so revved up. I'm emotionally really alive right now from the conversation that we have that I need like a legitimate come down from this. But I'm so thankful that we made this happen. I know we went back and forth for forever, but thank you so much, Laura Bell.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.